Say to the one who is fearful, don't be afraid. God is going to vindicate you with full recompense. Everything that's been lost, he will restore to you. This is actually the release of the grace of God into an individual's life that helps to bring them into the very answer that they ache for. And they may not have the ability to face that thing on their own, but it's all right because we got their arms. And we're standing there bringing that kind of encouragement. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With a recompense of God, he will come and save you. Look at those two verses again. Strengthen the weak hands. Now, here's verse 3 and 4 are the two verses in the chapter where you and I are commissioned to do something, all right? We've got the backdrop of God changing circumstances, the backdrop where he just shows up in an extraordinary way, and then he says, here's your job. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees, say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. This is interesting. Because of a life immersed in hope, we are able to step up to the person who is not in hope, the person who is faltering, the person who is at the place of personal weakness. All of us have been in the place of weakness. We've all been in the place of strength. This right now is giving us the backdrop. Listen, you are being immersed in the purposes of God. You have a reason to live with hope every day of your life. And in fact, to the measure you are without hope, to that measure you are under the influence of a lie. No one who truly believes what God has said is without hope. There is nothing you and I will ever face that caught him by surprise, nor was not already included in his solution. One of the strangest things in Scripture to me is where it talks about Jesus being crucified from before the foundations of the earth. So picture this. Before the world was made, God, the Father, the Son, already made a decision. We're going to create a world. We're going to create people in our image. They will sin. So there's already the commitment in the heart of Jesus, I will die in their place. What does that mean? Before there was a problem, there was a solution. That's amazing. So when you and I hit something that's brand new to us, it's not new to him. Before there was a problem, there was already a solution. So here he gives us the commission. He says, all right, find those that are in a place of weakness. Strengthen their hands. They're not able to work as they're supposed to. Strengthen their knees. What does that look like? I don't know. I just remember years ago, a friend of mine that was fresh out of the military talked about they would have to run these great distances. And sometimes one of their troops would just lose all strength and collapse. And so they would run over to them because they're all graded as a group. One person would take the backpack, put it on top of their own backpack. Two other soldiers would take the soldier by the arms, and they would actually carry him the rest of the race. He didn't have the strength to finish the race on his own, so two others that had strength would carry him the rest of the race until he finished. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's the fact that we stand with one another and we hold each other up until our knees are strengthened, until we're at a place where we can carry out the very thing that God called us. But it didn't stop there with just physical service, a touch, a embrace, holding somebody up. It moves into a prophetic realm that I don't think was... I don't see this passage as somebody waiting to get a word from God so they can prophesy to their friend. Instead, I think this is an automatic decree that we owe to one another because we know the nature of God and the overriding promise of God for any situation in our life. So what is it? Say to the one who is fearful, don't be afraid. God is going to vindicate you with full recompense. Everything that's been lost, he will restore to you. Why is that important? It's not just empty encouragement. How many know what I mean when I say empty encouragement? It's somebody who's trying hard, but doesn't hit the mark and doesn't fix anything. This is actually the release of the grace of God into an individual's life that helps to bring them into the very answer that they ache for. So look at it again. Say, here I'm strengthening hands, strengthening knees. Now, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God's going to vindicate you. There's nothing that we are facing that he hasn't already provided a solution for. He will fully restore everything to you. And they may not have the ability to face that thing on their own, but it's all right because we got their arms. And we're standing there bringing that kind of encouragement. Why is this vital? To me, in fact, in my Bible, I wrote Ephesians 4:29 down next to this passage because it perfectly illustrates a truth that I saw in Ephesians 4:29. Here's the verse. I'll quote it to you. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment that it might give grace to those who hear. All right? No negative words, encouraging words, only edifying words, according to the need of the moment, so it has specific application, that it might give grace to those here. That's the fascinating part to me, is that I could come to you and give you an encouraging word, and somehow that would bring grace. Where does grace come from? It comes from God. Grace is what? It's God's favor. Okay, work with me here. It's God's favor. I take this individual. I come to them with an encouraging word. I say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God's going to vindicate you. You fully supply whatever was stolen from you. I will stand with you. We're going to see this through. God will fully vindicate every loss you've ever suffered. And we make this decree. But here's what Scripture says. When we bring that word of edification according to the need of the moment, it gives grace. Where does grace come from? God. So let me put it in my language. He sees me choosing an individual to encourage, and he says, all right, that is where I will add grace. I will now release divine favor where my son has shown favor. We don't manipulate or control God, but he's given us permission. Every person in this room has been given the ministry of reconciliation. It's in 1 Corinthians. Every person. Every one of us have certain overlapping responsibilities. And in this case is the responsibility to stand as one who believes in the vindicator. I can't vindicate you. I can't fully provide for you what was lost. But I can stand with you out of my confidence because I have hope. Out of my confidence in who God is and his promise that prevails over my life, over your life. And I can say, he will fully vindicate you. God sees me bringing the edification according to the need of the moment. And he says, I will now add my power called grace into the equation, which will help to bring about the vindication I have promised. Will it happen if you don't say it? See, the Lord doesn't give us commissions that he'll carry out if we don't. He doesn't give us an assignment, go into all the world, preach the gospel. But if you guys just get too tired or whatever, it's all right, I'll just do it myself. Or if you don't go, I'll send angels. My goodness, I'd rather have angels sent anyway. Some 20-foot angel standing on a street corner would probably have a bigger response than any of us. Or Jesus will just show up in the flesh. And if that's the option, let's just have him do it. When he gives us a commission, it's because he has imparted to us a divine enablement, grace, and a responsibility to carry out the assignment. So my question is, I've got the weak, faltering person next to me that needs someone to strengthen, someone to grab an arm, stand with them, bring encouraging words to them, but then prophesy. God will vindicate you. Is it possible that some of the things we've waited for him to do have been delayed because he's been waiting for us to do the thing he signed us to do. We've seen it before. I've seen it a number of times in my life where I've waited and waited and waited. And I found out after a while that he was waiting for me. He's waiting for me to act, waiting for me to obey, take risk, whatever it might be. And all that time, I blamed the absence of something on the sovereignty of God, when in fact, it was just the lack of risk and obedience on the part of Bill. So here we have the verse. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Look at verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open. Then. Get next to the hurting person. Prophesy over them that God will fully vindicate. Then the eyes of the blind are open. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame will leap like a deer. The tongue of the dumb will sing. For waters shall burst forth into wilderness streams in the desert. Do you see this? Then the eyes will be open. The ears will be open. The lame, the tongue, everything healed, everything restored. What did it follow? It followed the decree made by the hope-filled believer.